tried and true. With tiny skins, I'll be a living with you. Sanctuary for singing and doing now. Lord, prepare to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Just make me a sanctuary. Is that your prayer? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, about verse 15 through 17. Now remember, the Bible study will be, the Lord willing, this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. So remember that. And the fellowship meeting will be on the third Saturday at Brother Lee Garland's. And if you need a ride or anything, make sure you let us know. We'll be leaving out to go, by 11, I think. I think it was Home Depot. Home Depot at 11. Home Depot at 11. If you need a ride, we'll be at Home Depot at Gainesville at 11. So. That's the way we went, was through and catch 20 and go up. Yeah, we go over and catch 20. Home Depot, because that'll be fine. We can cut right across 53, right back over. And so just, if anybody needs a ride, make sure you let us know or anything about it. And also remember now, Brother Lee, they made a mistake on it over there at the funeral, because they were telling us he was being operated on yesterday. But what it was, that he was having the biopsies made on checking out his prostate. So he's having some trouble. His PSA was high and they were going to do that. So that was being done yesterday. I talked to Sister Garland last night, and she said he was bleeding a good bit and that he was, sleeping good, that day. So, just remember Brother Lee, and just keep that in mind. I think that's all the announcements. Are you going to practice tonight are you going to meet after? Okay. Meet after the service for the knowing about it, and we did go ahead and try to make some arrangements and all for some that are going to the Alabama youth camp, but maybe not staying or doing whatever. So we told them to up the food part of it at least, because everybody else had found had a motel or whatever they were doing. But we did have them to increase the amount of the people that would be eating, because they need to know that now, ahead of time where they can get it done. So, all right, Genesis 22. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, and we thank you for Calvary, because we know at Calvary all the things that we ask for and the needs we have and all was a finished product when we look at Calvary. So just keep our minds upon that, Lord, and our hearts set upon you to walk in your love and grace in the hour that we're living. Thank you for the word that you've revealed unto us, and thank you for, Lord, for granting us the opportunity that we could walk in the word of the hour. Thank you, Father. And we ask you now that you'd come and speak to us and let your love be made manifest to each and every one of us, that we may be what you want us to be upon the earth. Forgive our sins and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 22:15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're still talking about, this will be message number four, about a positive attitude, because that's what we need more than anything, is a positive attitude. Even everything in the world wants you to have a positive attitude. You know, like I said, you go up to somebody's house and say, I'd like to sell you a vacuum cleaner, but the thing won't vacuum. You know, it won't do no good. You don't, you know, and all that. Well, you're not going to be able to sell anything without a positive attitude. That's even in the natural. So how much more would we need in the spiritual extent of a positive attitude? All right. Now, we spoke, just to review a couple of messages, we spoke about two things, talking about now to getting us to a positive attitude, because to me, a positive attitude is the reveal word. All right? Now, the word revealed to you and I will bring us to a positive attitude. And as we read from the prophet, you can't get anything out of God with a negative attitude. You know, you can't get it. It just won't work, because God is positive himself. There's not anything in God that's negative. It's all positive. Everything is a positive extent. So then we ought to keep that in mind. All right, we spoke one of the messages about two things. One thing that when God speaks it, you know, before the world, when he said that the Lamb stood slain before the foundation of the world and your name was written in the Lamb's book of life, as far as God is concerned, that was already finished.
Right.
Now, it had to wait for some 4,000 years as far as earthly thinking, you know, of time, we'd say, of the Old Testament, for that to come into a manifestation. But it didn't matter. It was already done in God's mind. Now, it had to wait to a time, as I said, to come to a reality upon earth. There's a lot of things in God's Word that is still there for to come to a reality. But yet, as far as him and what he saw it, see, that's why we covered the message there, those who justified, he hath already glorified. Well, see, when he saw you and wrote your name there, I have some in here somewhere about where the prophet said that we shouldn't have any fear because God said it was done.
Right?
He said it was done. But see, once he spoke it, it must come to pass. All right. But the second thing was, when that comes to pass, how much more sure is it? Because we know it would not come to pass, you know. We know that for a certainty, but yet we know also that when it does come to pass, it's a reality. You know, it's a manifestation. All right. Then we spoke about how that, as far as God is concerned, everything is in a present tense. He may speak of a future. He may remind you of a past. But it's all in present tense. And the prophet said that our problem was that we look back to what has been. We look forward to what is coming. And we forget to be in a reality of what is present now. Well, then when God appeared to Moses as the I Am, Brother Brown said that was ever present for eternity is what I Am would be. Then when Jesus stood on the earth, he said, before Abraham was, I Am. So everything is present tense. Let's don't try to worry about the past. It's done. And you can't do anything about the future because it hasn't gotten here yet. All right? See, then we need to dwell upon that. See, as I said, our problem is we look back to what we've done. We look to what we've done in our lives. We look to the things like that. Then in some way we try to get our being to agree with maybe some future thing and maybe, you know, like we used to say in the denominations, you know, one day we're going to get to heaven. One of these days we're going up to heaven and we're going to get us a new body. We're going to be everything, going to be great. But now, how can that take place if we don't live in a present tense?
Right. Right.
You and I live in a present tense form right now. You know, we can store up for the future, but what good is that? You know, the only thing that we need to do is try to live in the present tense of seeing things the way God sees it. Yeah. To look at things the way God sees it. Because He sees it finished. He sees it's already done. All right. And we were talking, going over to the funeral there of Brother Calhoun's yesterday and back. See, if we could just ever get into that basis of looking at it like God sees it. Sister Gail was talking about seeing a vision, and it was like clouds, and then it just opened up, and a light was there, and it was moving, but then it come, and she saw the light, then it went back. See? And I said, to me, what's the difference in seeing a vision or a revelation from God's Word? See, Brother Branham, when he'd stand there and he'd be praying for somebody, you know, he'd have a 40-year-old man and he'd see a 80-year-old man with going to work with his lunch under his arm. Well, he didn't have any trouble saying, "Thus saith the Lord, you're not going to die." You know. Why? Because he'd seen him 40 years later. But now, what's the difference in that than God revealing something to you? When He reveals something to you, that He's revealing is a present tense form of God brought down to you and I. Made known to you and I. It brings it to us. It's not us going up to heaven. It's God coming to where we are. Sure, we're in heavenly places by the new birth, but still, what we need to do is make sure we understand what the Bible says about us. If you had if you found something somewhere, you know, as a deed or a will or something that in your family that nobody didn't know, you know, about, and you found that, and you in that you'd read the will and it'd tell you that you got this, you got that, you get so much money. Well, you take that down to the court and you say, "Is this any good?" And so, yes, it's good. It's got the seal on it. It's got everything on it. It's real. All you got to do is go turn it in. All right? You'd be happy about that, wouldn't you? But what about the gospel? When God says something, remember I preached a message on it, that when He says something, it must come to pass. He can't lie. He can't tell you one thing and then change His mind. That's denominationalism to think, well, God, you know, sure, oh yeah, God required this here, but now He changed His mind later. No, He didn't. Everything is exactly, that's why we can depend on it. You can depend upon when God tells you something, you can depend upon that. Now, here's my thought I want you to get. Here in Genesis, that where He's coming to Abraham and telling him, He said, "I swore. I have sworn, saith the Lord." Now, where was that? Now what? It was back over there when He made a covenant with him. When He made a covenant with him in about Genesis 12 and then there and then come on in 14 and things like that, he come down and he parted the animals and done all the things. He was confirming a covenant with Abram at that time, see, because that's who he was, but he would come to be Abraham. So when he did, he said, "I swore then." Now, it's something to think about God's Word. The point I want you to see is this much. You read in the Bible and you see something. And you say, "Well, that's speaking to me." You know. I believe that's to me. You know, we read. I meant to do it, but I thought we could understand enough to go. But Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for our transgression, He was bruised for our iniquity." You've heard the prophet when he said, "Write your name in there." He was wounded for my, Samuel Dale's transgression. He was bruised for Samuel Dale. See, put your own name in it. That's God telling you what he's already done. But what about when he'd come down and swear to you? What about when God would come and swear to you? Did he do it? He told Abraham what he was going to make him and everything. But he swore to him that he'd do it. How much more sure is a sworn oath than just regular words? Even in the court of law, you know, they want you to keep your word. But when you go and you put your hand on the Bible and you swear, I mean, you can actually be put in jail for giving a false witnesses when you swore to tell the truth. All right? But now, if you were just saying something, they wouldn't put much emphasis upon that you said that. But when you swore that that was true. Well, what about God now? What about God swearing to keep his covenant with Abraham? How much more sure should Abraham believe? Now, he believed God when he called him out, Genesis 12, right? He believed God. He got up and went with him. God didn't swear to him in Genesis 12. He just called him and told him to go out and what he'd do with him. You know, and he'd bless him and that. But when he makes the covenant with him there, he swore to it. And that's what he's doing here. He said, I swore that I'd do it, and I will do it.
Right.
Now we talk about that God would bankrupt heaven and take the gold off the streets to not be able to pay a debt that he'd owe. Well, what about salvation? What about healing? How much more sure should we think about it? See? All right, now here's the point. See, I've been driving at, and I'll try to sum it up tonight if we can. See, then two things has been the title of the message, you know, positive attitude, but it was talking about two things. All right. When God before the world saw that Jesus Christ would die as a lamb, you know, stand as a lamb slain.
That's right.
All right. Now, when he come to earth and done that, that's a double statement of something. Now, when in the Bible, when God says things like, surely, surely. Brother Woodby had a good point about that. When he'd say, when you read that, surely, surely, he said, surely be realize one thing. You know, he's making his statement positive.
Right.
So when he says, surely, surely, you know, all right, that means listen. Because that's for a surety. See, you understand what I'm saying? That before the world, he saw it, but then when it transpired upon the earth, then it became such a reality. Until how could we deny the fact of Jesus Christ dying for our sins? Because that was what it for. He died to pay the price that you and I see, then he'd confirm that covenant as we talk about. What? He stood between the great eternal, as we'd say, not a second person or a Trinitarianism. But yet, God in his infinite mind looked down and saw, and when he did, there stood a lamb on, or hung a lamb on Calvary paying the price for me and you. Now he confirmed it. Confirm means to like establish something, to be like the word confirmed is a mediator between two parties or two people, you know, making a covenant. When you confirm something, you ratify it or establish it. All right? So then what happened was that God himself paid the price to make sure that it would be a reality. So now listen to what I'm saying. See, when he died before the world in God's mind, that would have to be translated to earth someday to take place, or it wouldn't be a reality.
Right.
All right. So then I summed it up the other day talking about that, Back a few years ago, I preached a series on called Matching Pieces. Now, when we match here what God saw before the world, how's he going to stop taking it? You know, how's it going to happen? Because when he saw that, he saw us reach a certain date or a time. We don't deal with dates and times because we deal with revelation. Right? But there still is a date and a time. See? All right? But see, when he looked down and saw Luther reach that position of the just shall live by faith, then it meant that Luther was fixing to go off the scene. Right? When he saw Wesley, when he saw Pentecost, you know, it meant they were fixing to go off the scene. But now, this time we're not going to go off the scene, as we call it, because we're not going by the grave. Because he saw somebody that would reach a place. And in reaching that place, how could we fail to go when he's already seen it? We're just a reality of it. All right, but it's a sworn statement. What about a sworn statement from God to me and you? When, as we're reading a minute, the prophet said he couldn't swear by no greater, because it wasn't anything greater. It wasn't anybody greater. So he swore by himself. All right, he took an oath by himself. He became, as I said, the word confirmed. He became a mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He paid the price that you and I, we don't have to do nothing.
Right.
Just believe it.
Amen.
Yeah, but give me something. That's what was wrong with Israel when they chose law. Give me something to do. God said it's already done. Well, see, then we fall on the other side. Well, if it's already done, don't matter what I do, I'm going anyway. That goes into disgrace. But see, church, what I'm trying to get me and you to see is that when God saw it before the world, as far as he is concerned, it's over. But he knew we couldn't stand upon that. Because we're human mortals. We need something tangible. So, he came down and paid the price. We have a tangible salvation, not just something in our mind. This is not a mind new birth, you know, or a new age thinking, or a better way to think about something. It's salvation that is more real than anything you could ever think about.
Right. Amen.
But what about coming to that basis that he would tell Abraham and then swear to Abraham?
Right.
He didn't just tell him, he swore that he'd do it.
Right.
I wish that right there would just sink into our hearts that he would swear to you and I. Because we're the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:16, which is thy seed, which is Christ, talking to Abraham. But his seed is Christ, and by the new birth, we become the children of Abraham. All right. And by becoming the children of Abraham, the promise to Abraham is just as sure to you and me as it was to Abraham himself. In reality, it's more real. Because Abraham never received a new birth. But you and I received the earnest of that total inheritance,
right.
Which is the new birth.
Right.
But he never received that.
Amen.
So he had to walk as a man, believing God.
Right.
But you and I don't have to walk that way. We can walk by faith.
Right.
We can walk by revelation. All right? See, then, by doing that now, for God to swear to Abraham and his seed, now, then that would bring us to a sure thing. As I said, you go down to the court, you get a document, you get that, and you go get that seal put on there. Or like an ambassador from the United States. I tell you about it all the time because I remember it in school that there was one went to Russia one time way on back there, and he swore to give them so much wheat and almost busted our whole wheat supply to give him the word that we'd give it to the Russians that was killing us. You know. But see, it was because his word. His word had that stamp, that seal. That was the oath that the United States had to stand behind. Because it was a sworn statement signed with a seal. Well, if we could believe in something that sure, how much more can we believe in salvation? How much more should we believe in healing? Because in one statement he says, by his stripes we were healed. That's Calvary. But then he makes a statement again and says, what? By his stripes we are. One of them was were, which was back there. See, now we are healed. Not waiting for God to heal us. We're already healed. But yet that has to go through the human parts of our makeup and everything. And that's what I'm trying to get me and you to see is how much more sure the Word of God is. If you can find a promise the prophet said in the Bible, said you can call God on the scene, and said if he don't do what that promise said then he lied. Now that's what your prophet, that's how sure he taught. But you know yourself that God has never lied because he can't lie. That's why he even said the point about, like Billy Graham over there, you know, when they challenged him. He said, he should have said, well, there's a man in America, there's a brother, we'll go get him. He said, but still he ought to stood right there. He ought to walk right out there and said, listen, man, I might not be able to produce it, but cut my throat or do something to me because I ain't backing down. But you see, he proved he didn't have that surety. He should have at least stood there and called for it and seen what God would do. See, because if God's called on the scene, he's going to take care of it. He's going to do it because of what he says. Now, listen, let's go back to Hebrews 6 now. Where we've been at in Hebrews 6. Because this is Paul writing back, telling, you know, about what God had done in swearing to Abraham, right, and making a covenant. But not only just now, see, we think about covenant just means a covenant to us a lot of times just means, well, I'll promise you this. And all you're looking at is what you promised. And that's fine, you know, because you're looking at it the other way. But what about when it's a double confirmation? What about when God swears it? He's more than just offering it. That's why Brother Brown said Abraham was under an unconditional covenant. And the children of Abraham are under an unconditional covenant. You have an unconditional covenant tonight. You don't have a covenant that, well, if you'll be good now, you'll go to heaven. Now, that's Baptist doctrine. That's not the Bible. You say, yeah, but if you go too far, brother, now listen. As Brother Moult used to say, you can't go no further into disgrace than you already are in legalism. Come on, you can't go too far into disgrace. There's no difference in being in disgrace and go off the end of the scale than there is to not even move at all. Yeah, well, Brother Dale, see, you don't understand what I'm saying, what the Bible says. When God tells you something, believe what he said. He called me to preach, but he told me what to preach. Paul said, whereof I'm called, the mystery. See, I know what God wants me to preach. That's what I'm trying to do, is get you to see it. That's what I've done ever since I've been the time that he told me what it was. It's to try to get you to see the message that speaks to you about you.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get you to see the what some people think. Well, Brother Dale is the... If we just see Brother Dale, follow him, no. You're in bad shape if that's all you know. I'm trying to get you to see who you are. And that God's Word is to you. Because that to me is the call I have in my life. See, that's why I preach the way I do. I want you to see what God is to you. What He is to me won't put you in the rapture. It's what He is to you. My wife is not going because I go. My children are not going because I go. It's when they have the revelation within their own heart of God to them, then it becomes a reality. It becomes something real. But look what Paul says now, speaking about Abraham. Verse 13, where we've been at now. For when God made promise to Abraham, and what? He made a promise. Now watch what Paul says he done. Now you'll get why I said what I said. And see, like in Genesis 12, you find a promise, but then about the 14th chapter, he starts making that covenant and swearing by it. All right? So get what he's saying now. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. Go home and run it in on your computer. I don't think I'll use them because it's coming Sunday, but I may if it'll be all right. But go home and run on in your computer that he swore by himself, or God swore by himself. Just run in there, swore by himself. It'll come out. Lock it in your, and look what the prophet has to say about it. Now listen. What did he swear? Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. Alright. Now this is back to Abraham now. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now he's coming back to his statement. For men swear, men verily swear by the greater. Brother Brown said God could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. Right. And what? For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is made is to them, excuse me, an end of all strife. Watch what I've been saying about that confirmation or confirmed. Now he said it's the end of all strife. Now listen. There's a great big old boogerman we call the devil. And it's me and you. And we've been having a battle all of our life. Right? I mean, if it ain't you, then pray for me. But now, if God confirmed a covenant with me by giving me the new birth, now he's the mediator. He's the mediator between God and man. We know that. Because he was God in human flesh. All right, we know that. But also think about it like this. If he's confirmed his covenant by giving you the new birth, where's he at?
That's right. Amen.
He's standing right between you and that devil.
Right.
And that devil can't get to you until he gets permission.
Right.
And when he gets permission, all that's far is for our benefit.
Right. Amen.
Come on, get the book of Job and study it. It wasn't for God's benefit, it's for Job's benefit. You see what I'm saying? One confirmed means that you're like a mediator standing between two parties. Well, see, we know Jesus Christ died on the cross to be a mediator between God and man. We know that. But when he's come into your heart, now he's standing closer to you, and he's between that old body and spirit that is motivated by the devil, and that soul that is born again. Now there's the kind of mediator I want. Because it's more than just Calvary. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's more than just Calvary, as we think of. Calvary paid the price, we know that. Sure, there had to be a Calvary. But without a new birth, Calvary is worth nothing to you. Without being born again, Calvary means nothing to you. See, but he didn't just hang there on a tree. See, that's like all these movies they make then. See, you don't ever see anybody. You don't go down to the Passion Play in Atlanta and all, and we go and enjoy it, and that's fine. But they never have an ascension of the bride. They only have an ascending of Jesus Christ. I'd like to see them sometimes start at the ascension of Christ and put on a program and have an ascension of the bride of Christ, and you know. Because, see, that mediator is between me and this old man I have out here. My body and my spirit. God is inside of me. And there's no way that God can destroy this flesh unless we want to get into some of these doctrines like the people in the Message. I'm going to get me a new body. Now, that might be, but I don't believe that. The reason I don't believe that, Jesus Christ stood there with nail prints in his hands, and I believe we will, this body to be glorified. Right. And if it is, how can God destroy it? Right. It doesn't destroy your body because you die and go fall out on the side of the road somewhere and you rot and go into the ground. That don't destroy your body. Right. All God's got to do is just speak and it'll come right back together. Right. That don't have nothing to do with it, but I get what I'm saying. So what was he saying to him? For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of strife. A promise from God's word should be an end of our strife. We should get away from, you know, well, I don't know whether I'm saved. I believe I'm a Christian, you know. I don't know. I think I am. I believe I am, you know, just up and down, just playing around. Get down to a settled state. Amen. And make the statement. See, God cannot come on the scene to you and me until we make the statement of what's going on. Because that's what it means to say the same thing, see. Confession, say the same thing. When I say what God says, he can come on the scene. But if I keep saying I'm sick, and I keep saying, well, I don't know. Oh, yeah, things are going pretty bad, you know. No. Well, God has to confess that. Just think about that God is in you. How could he that is in you let something happen to you that would not be for your betterment? Well, I'm sick, Brother Dale. That's because of the curse. Job was sick. Come on. But then he was put to a test. That was the two different things. Job had problems. He was sick. He was up and down. He had troubles. But then one day he was put on the ash heap for his own benefit. Maybe that's where we're at. But see, every little thing comes along. Well, I don't know whether God's with me or not. I wouldn't be like I am. Come on, folks. Ain't nothing positive about that. That's a negative attitude. The positive attitude is to say, I am what God says I am. And stand on that and wait for him to do it. Now, what's going on with it? Verse 17. Wherein God willing, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, immutability. And immutable is the same word. It's 276 in your Strong. Immutability, or immutable, means to not transpose. It's something that's not transposed. Now, transpose means to change a position or something, or order the sequence of it, you know.
Right.
Now, think about what I'm saying. It means not to be transferred.
Right.
Immutability is something that cannot be transferred. It cannot be fixed. It's unalterable. However you pronounce it. It can't be altered. No. That's the word immutable or immutability. Something that cannot in any way be transferred. It can't be fixed. It can't be altered. It can't be moved from one position to another. It's stable. Now watch. Now that's immutability. Look at the next verse now. So let's read that together with it. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto you and me, to show us something, see, heirs of promise, the immutability, to show us the unchanging. He cannot change it. He can't say something and change it. All right? To show us that he can't change nothing, so then his counsel is confirmed by an oath. He paid the price. The prophet said he knew we couldn't keep it. So he came himself to keep the promise. And watch it, and you'll see what I've been aiming at with the two things and dealing like that coming down. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, two immutable things, not just one, one immutable thing can't be changed. One immutable thing can't be changed because it can't be transferred or altered. Just one. That's why I was giving you the definition. See, because immutable and mutable and immutability is the same word, 276 in your Strong. See? So he's telling them that by his immutable promise is confirmed to me and you. Something that can't be changed. There's no way to change it. That's just one. When you look at God's word and you read it, you don't need a double confirmation of it. We're supposed to believe what God said. God didn't come to Abraham and say, Abraham, leave here and go over yonder. And then a few days later come back, Abraham, leave here and go somewhere. Abraham, leave here. Abraham, leave. No, he believed him the first time. A Christian ought to believe God the first time. We shouldn't have to have a sworn oath. That's a shame and a disgrace for somebody to come to me and that I'd tell you something and I'd say, now this is what I saw and this is what happened. And you'd say, would you swear to that? I'd tell you I wasn't going to say it again. That's exactly what I'd tell you, so I ain't saying it again. You mean I've been what I've been here all of my life and you come up to me and you say, Brother Dale, I heard you done so and so. Would you swear to it that you didn't? I'd say, get out of here. If you can't take my word of what I am and what I've been, don't ask me to swear. See, we're really not supposed to swear. We go to court, we have to because of the laws of the land. But the Bible says to swear not. We shouldn't even have to do it. The Lord just tells us, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm the Bible myself. You want me to put my hands right here on me and say I'll tell you the truth? No, but we go along with the law and try not to be hindrous. You know. But the Bible says not to swear. Because who are you going to swear by? You know what I'm talking about? They use it like people have, I'll swear that on my mother's grave. You know what that's supposed to mean? That's supposed to mean that there's no way in the world that could be indifferent because you're swearing on mama's grave. I know one time there was a, and I won't say but just this word about it, but my sister was asking me could she take this man's word for something, and I'll say it the way that you'll know what I'm saying. He had a certain kind of ring on his hand. All right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And she said, reckon I could take his word. I said, well, if he's a good one, you can. I said, if he's true, you can take his word. Because if he give you the signet of his of that ring, saying he'd keep his word. Well, come find out he wouldn't. Because he didn't keep his word. But she couldn't blame me because I didn't tell her he would. I just told her if he was a good one. You know? But now watch though. By two immutable things. Not just one thing that can't be transferred, altered, changed, or anything done to it. That's the title of the message because we're on number four of the positive attitude. But two immutable things. A double confirmation of something. That there's no way God can lie.
Right.
That's just number one.
Right.
And what he says to me and you can't be transferred, altered, or in any way.
Right.
But then he gives us two. He double states himself. To where you've got two immutable. Now you've got not one thing that can't be transferred. You've got two things that can't be transferred. You get what I'm talking about, see? That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we, what? Might have a strong consolation or an encouragement. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon a hope set before us.
Right.
Two. God is saying, surely, surely, I've told you. Now I swear to you. I give you a double statement of that.
Amen.
And it's immutable. It's immutable on the first statement, but it's double immutable.
All right.
Now, here's my point. If you could break one of them down, I've still got the other to stand on.
Right.
You know, it's impossible to do it, but if you could take away one of my immutabilities, I'd still have one of them. See, that's how sure God's word is. Because it can't be transferred. Well, that was for, if I could just live back there when God, if I was just like Abraham, you know. God spoke to Abraham. If I could just be back there. That's what I told you. I told you how I studied the word of God. I'll tell you one more time. I looked to see who it's talking about. The things I read, I was talking about Abraham. I read it about Abraham. I know what he's done back there. But then I look for Christ and I see the seed. Galatians 3:16, the seed of Christ. Because the prophet said if you don't see Christ in every verse, read it again. But that's where everybody stops. Did you see Christ? I want to see Christ in me from every verse. I want to see Christ living in my life from every verse.
Amen.
folks, it's over with. We just don't realize it.
Right.
It's a finished product. We just don't realize the things that you and I have.
Right.
Let's read a little bit what the prophet said now. This is from the Message. Melchizedek, the great prince, preached in 1955, 1:09 in the morning. What a marvelous promise. Two immutable things. God cannot lie and be God. Now, if God has made a promise in His Bible here, we believe the Bible to be the infallible Word of God. And if God has made a promise in this Bible, we have this consolation and know that it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, when we see He promised it in the Bible, we believe it, soul, body, and spirit. It's impossible for Him to lie.
Right.
Now, listen. Now, if there's any fault, it's in us,
amen,
not in God.
Right.
For God is obligated to His Word.
Right.
And watch. For He's sworn by His Word. Now listen, oh my, I'm sure when we get to seeing it in that light, things will begin to shape up and heap up different than what they used to be. Now there's the whole message tonight. When we get to see it in the light that God is obligated by to His Word, but then He swore by His Word, when we see it in that light, when we get the revelation, see, that God can't lie.
Right.
All right. Things will begin to shape up. Now listen to him. Back in 55, he knowed something, didn't he?
Right.
Watch him. Healing of the body doesn't become a fiction. It becomes a reality. The baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't become an emotional worked up substance. It becomes a reality of the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to change the life.
Right.
Two immutable things. Go on down. Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, paragraph 261, 1957, 0915 in the morning. He quotes the scripture, two immutable things. He's going down. And by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have two things. What? We have two things. Yes, first, His Word said He would do it. The second was His sworn oath,
right,
on it.
Amen.
He'd do it.
Right.
Oh my, what type of people should we be? Why should we be talked about and run about and take the things of the world and acting like this, 1957 streamlined model Christianity? We want to be the old-fashioned type that takes God at His Word and calls those things which were not as though they were.
Right.
If God said so, that settles it. I'll probably preach on that scripture Sunday. Go on down. Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, paragraph 278 of the same year, 57:9-15. Now, Father, receive our worship this morning. Take the Word and plant it into the believer's heart. May they not be tossed about and up today and down tomorrow. But may these words find their resting place in every believer's heart to know this, that God has sworn by an oath. And that's two immutable things of the immutability of God. You remember, two unchangeable, two untransferable, two things that can't be altered. That is, that it's impossible for Him to lie. That the heirs of this salvation might have this strong hope, steadfast and sure, and an anchor in the soul, to know this, that God has promised by us by a sworn oath, one of the oath, that He cannot lie. The other, number two, His sworn oath on top of that, that He'll raise us up at the last days and give us eternal life, knowing that after we have been called, that He said that He knew us before the foundation of the world and predestinated us unto the adoption of children through Jesus Christ. And He foreknew us, He called us, and when He called us, He justified us, and we cannot justify ourselves, so He justified us by the death of His own Son. Those who He has justified, He has already glorified. The word's already spoke, and we're just on our road going along rejoicing on our way to glory. Well, everything is going so bad. You know, I just really don't know whether I'm a Christian or not. Well, there's one thing for sure. You're probably 99% for sure you're not. I'll let that settle in a little bit. If that's the way we live, we prove we're not Christians. A Christian lives and walks by faith, not by what we see. Not by how good it is and what it ought to be. How can God try you if He don't let trouble come your way? I don't get it. Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, 1957-0915, in the evening. Those were in the morning before. Paragraph 324. It's God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's God that worketh, not him that willeth or him that runneth. But God showeth mercy. If Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, it taken 4,000 years before it actually happened. But when God spoke it back there, every word of God is steadfast. It's immutable. It's impartable. It cannot fail. And when God slayed the Son before the foundation of the world, He was just as much slain then as He was at Calvary. It's a finished product when God says so. Going down to the last one as we read. Eve 27, Confirmation and Evidence, 1962, 621 the evening. Last paragraph. Now, faith. God told Abraham here, give him a promise. And then God confirmed this promise to him. Give him an evidence by taking an oath before him. And the immutable thing is that God cannot lie. And not only that, when he promised him, then beyond that, he swore to it, God taking an oath to himself. You got to swear to someone greater than you. And there was no one to swear to greater than himself. So he swore by to himself. Listen. I'd like to stay all night and preach right there. He swore to himself. And the promise was in Abraham. And is a conjunction. And to his seed after him. Not seeds, but seed. And Christ is the seed of Abraham. And we being in Christ, the life of Christ in us makes us Abraham's children and are heirs with him according to the promise. Amen. Now listen, just for a second. Our problem is we don't believe what God says. That's our problem. Then mankind comes along and puts in all kind of perverted seed into our mind and says, well, you can't trust that Bible because it was wrote by man. Well, that might be all right for somebody else. Is that right? But see, God swore. God swore. He not only gave His word, He backed up on, you know, He gave it, then He turned around and said, all right, you don't believe me enough, I just swear to you I'll do it. He swore, the prophet said there, to himself. Now listen for a minute. The great eternal God before the world ever begun was self-existing. But then we see the Word come out, and we've spoken on it on many occasions. The halo of light, the Word that could say, let there be. And that Word is confirmed to be Jesus Christ by Hebrews 1, John 1, Colossians 1, James 3. I believe it is. 3:9, is that what it is? All things were created by Jesus Christ, not Jesus the flesh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So then Jesus Christ was the second part of the sworn.
That's right. Right.
He swore to himself.
Yep.
That one that stepped over to create the world, once he had stepped there in another form, the same God, had no trouble looking back and saying, Father, I'll pay the price. That's not Trinitarianism. Come on. You should be enough to not be children. That's not Trinitarianism. That's just like where it says, let us make man. And Brother Brown said, Father or Son made man. That's not two gods. That's Word and Spirit. So then, when Jesus Christ came on earth, He had a right as a human to say, I won't do it. He was a man. He had a right. It was in His hands. It was a free moral agency to say, I won't do it. But He turned around and He said, Father, I will do it. That's what He was doing in the garden. But see, we're so much Trinity or oneness that we can't preach the true gospel about it. I have no trouble with Jesus crying out to His Father. See, I see a double confirmation in the fact that God did not leave us alone.
Right.
He came down to live with us.
Right.
To confirm it.
Right.
Jesus is the one that's to stand between God and man.
Right.
He's the one to confirm it. And when He stood there on earth, He said, even as the Father has sent me, watch the double statement now. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. That's a double statement. Sworn with an oath. It can't be changed. It's immutable. And to show us the immutability of God's promise, Jesus Christ died to pay the price. There's your double statement. Look at Jesus Christ. When He was on earth, what was He saying? He was telling you exactly what the Father had to say. Come on. Didn't your prophet say, and don't the Bible say, I do nothing until my Father shows me? What's the double statement? That's the immutability of God's Word. God didn't leave us without something. He came Himself to pay the price. When Jesus Christ stood here on earth, He said, I'll go to my Father. But He said, I'll come right back. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come unto you. The immutability of God's Word.
Right.
To see that that Word actually produced Jesus Christ. Right? How much more could we talk about it? Because this Bible has been confirmed by an oath.
Right.
A man stood on this earth one day and it says, as I live, ye shall live also. That's an oath. That's swearing to me that all I've got to do is accept Him. But realize what He's done. Because there's just one God. But there's one mediator. The man, Christ Jesus. Why? Because somebody has to stand between.
Right. That's
you see what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah.
Somebody had to stand between.
Right.
But the one that stood between swore to me, if you accept me as your Savior, all is settled.
Right.
Is that right? Is that Scripture? Did He say, if I go away, I'll prepare a place for you?
Right.
Is that Scripture? What was he doing? He was swearing. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come again. What was that? That was an oath from a man. But that man was Jesus. And Jesus is Almighty God made in flesh. Now come on, let me just make this statement like this. Brother Brown said the Jews and the people back there had gotten their Elijah, right? Come on. But he said he can't leave the Gentiles without a witness. He said, because they had the sign of the resurrection, they had Jesus Christ. But he said, God wouldn't leave it like that. That us Gentiles would just have to go in on the basis of theology. He said, so he'd come in the end time. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Boyd Helm, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. He was sent to you. Said, no, he was sent to you. Oh, see, you're not understanding. The Bible didn't say send him to everybody. Elijah the prophet wasn't to go to everybody. Because everybody would turn it down except the elect. He was only sent to the elect. So he says, Gale, I send you Elijah. Go back and check where Sister Branham was thinking about whether to marry Brother Branham or not. Go check it. And Sister Branham was thinking about whether to marry Brother Branham or not. What did God say to her? Well, go down there and marry him. He's a good man. Go check it. She said it. That God said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Come on, we're sure that was to his natural bride. Then why can't we see the confirmation that God had already throughout his Bible fulfilled his word and all, but yet he come down in the last days as a double confirmation. And stood up on earth again in a man to walk down here to bring us the word. That wasn't just a man, that was God using a man. We've got an immutable gospel. One that can't be transferred. Can't be altered. If it does, we go back to where we were talking Sunday, Galatians 1:8. When an angel from heaven come, our brother Brown said, Paul said, if I come and bring another one. Well, that don't really mean that. This needs to be here. Well, Brother Branham was right here, but he was wrong here. And churches tonight are just laughing. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Look at that message that Brother Branham was wrong, but he got straightened out by Brother so-and-so. You know what I'm talking about. They're shouting their shoe heels off tonight in services around this world over doctrines like that. And you sit there like a dried prune. See, church, we're to be running aisles, what God's revealed to me and you. Well, Brother Dale, you ain't running. Like I told Brother McGarity one time, Brother McGarity said, Brother Dale, sometimes I get excited, I start running. I said, well, just don't stop. I might run into you. Why? Because I believe what God has said. Behold, I send Lula, Georgia, Elijah the prophet. You go back there and get those tapes and listen to what he sent to you. The one he's talking to you, not me. But check and see if what I'm saying is what he's saying. Because he swore to us. You understand? You understand the scripture? Behold, I send you. He just didn't say, I send you. Behold, what does it mean? Behold, wake up, listen. Try to bring your attention to a situation. Behold. the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Wasn't that what John said? But behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Because to me, Elijah the prophet, the one I'm talking about now, to those on tape, I'm holding up Brother Branham's, the quotes I just read tonight. There's Elijah. Brother Branham wasn't Elijah that away. He was a man. The Lord himself descended from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself is Elijah. Behold, I send you the word of God. And I swore I'd do it. You can't transfer it. You can't change it. Can't be added to. It's to be believed like it is. Come on, brother. Two immutable things. Come on, Brother Board. Two immutable. Two things that can't be changed. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If he says it one time, that's immutable. Just one time is immutable. It can't be changed or transferred. But when he says two, like I've always told you, the kids that always, you know, and the grandkids are that way. They say, "Papa, will you do so and so?" All I got to do is say maybe. If I told the kids that, I'd say, Well, Daddy, can I go do something? Well, maybe. Well, they just make plans to go. Now, if I said, no, you can't, well, that was a different thing. But if I just said, well, yeah, okay. Well, they just make plans. Because that's my word. Now, if I was that much, how much more is God to you and I to keep his word? And then how much more would it be to swear? He swore to give us a change of the body. He swore to give us a rapture. He swore to give us all of these things. He swore. With his stripes, I am healed. But can we believe it? Let's stand together. 120 in the red book. If anybody has a need. Savior, calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Father, we send this prayer cloth, believing that, Lord, it'll take care of what has been asked for. We send it according to thy word. You swore in your word, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We may not be able to lay hands on them, but we could lay hands on this prayer cloth and send it. One that's been dedicated, set aside solely for the purpose of sending and prayed over by the brothers, believing. Jesus' name. Anybody else? Do you have a need? See, we got a double confirmation. By stripes, I'm healed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God swore he'd do it. How much more should we believe what he says? Oh, come on. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy. And the prophet said, oh my, I'm sure when we get to seeing it in that light, things begin to shape up and heap up different than what they used to be. You see, God said it and swore. The whole Bible is God swearing to you. Not just to Abraham, but to his seed. Hear me and be blessed, for I, meek and lowly. Brother Branham said, God is waiting on somebody that would take his word. He said he don't need a world full of people. He said he needs one man to believe God's word. One person is all God needs. Just start thanking him for it. See, the sicker you get, the more you thank him. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy, my burdens lie. See, church, that's why the Bible said, the Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord said it, and then he sent it down to earth by someone. So he's double stating it. That's not two gods, but it's the truth. Oh, but Jireh is the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Is he? When blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Josiah's back there going like this. He's in the spirit of it, isn't he? His name lives and reigns forevermore. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, but Jireh is his name. He provides all my needs. Does he? Oh, but Jireh is his name. For he provides all my needs. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen and amen. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Because he made the promise. And how much more will he keep it? Remember the Bible study Saturday? Just pray one for another that the Lord would be with us and just guide each and every one. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for thy word. Thank you for what you've sworn unto us, Lord. It was enough for you to say it, for you to swear to it. Gives us a double confirmation by two immutable things, two things that cannot in no way be transferred or altered. We stand upon thy word, and we thank you. Just be with the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. And Lord, reveal yourself unto us, because the prophet said one day it wasn't hard to be able to ask you to keep your word. That's not a hard thing, because you said you would. And in you glory in the fact that we would believe that you would keep your word. Just have your way now. Guide each one of us. Forgive our sins, Lord, and most of all for our unbelief of believing you.
Right.
Just help us to be satisfied in the place of where we are and to walk therein in thy word.
Amen, amen.
And guide us now. Take care of everybody in Jesus' name. You dismiss.
Amen.